You are listening to The Village Celebration. Thank you so much for joining us. We are talking now to literary consultant Patrick Oliver, who has written a new book. Actually, it's not as new as it was when we talked with you a few months ago.
6 months ago.
But vision boards, you know, we hear all the time talk about drawing and making a picture of what you want for yourself in the future.
Right.
That's a vision board, essentially.
Right.
And so you are focusing on teenagers or tweens putting together a vision board. How's it going?
It's going, you know, fantastic. You know, particularly when you present it to young people as this is your business plan for life. You know, you're writing down your proposal for life. And they get it, you know, because they want to be better than what they're seeing or what they're experiencing, seeing in their communities. So when you show them that, hey, this is what goes into a proposal when you're trying to start a business or when you're trying to get a grant or when you're trying to go to college, if you show them the relationship of what that vision board book does and what a vision board really means, they get it and they get excited about it. Because young people are just waiting for people to show them opportunities.
Some direction.
Yeah, direction. They're waiting, you know, and they get excited about it. So you're like, wait a minute, Ms. Oliver, you're showing me how I can actually write a proposal, I can write a narrative that goes into getting a scholarship. Hey, show me how to do it.
So this summer,
mm-hmm.
parents who are listening, let's talk about how they get their children to start a vision board.
You know, we all hear the term about summer learning loss. People always, you know, kids going to be doing it, da-da-da-da. You know, so we're saying, okay, the term is overused, you know, because kids, you know, I learned so much during the summer with my grandparents, you know, staying with them, you know, and all of my cousins, you know, I mean, it's like everybody went to my grandmother's house. So we were learning something.
You were learning something.
Exactly.
Right.
Good and bad.
How to get along, what they call
right.
those soft skills.
Exactly.
Interpersonal skills.
And then the wisdom of our grandparents. So, but I thought about that, and I thought about how that relates to our vision board guidebook, the vision board guidebook that I have. What is it that young people can do during the summer that would keep them busy, occupied, and nurturing?
And it's more in terms of formal learning.
Exact formal learning. And they're learning something. So what we're encouraging parents to do is get the vision board guidebook, and it's enough activities to keep those kids busy for the summer. All they need is pencils, crayons, and things like that. And if they have access to Wi-Fi, they can really get involved, because I'm encouraging
yes.
young people to do their family genealogy chart, which is, you know, which that could take them an entire summer. They just focus on their family genealogy and call their aunts and uncles over the summer and then work with their little cousins on it. You know, so they can have that family tree. They can have that knowledge of who they are. Because that's the first thing about a vision board. We want kids to understand who you are and what your potential is.
That's a great way to pair time with family with this blueprint.
Exactly.
For their lives. How else can they incorporate technology in the vision board?
That's a great question, you know, because in the vision board, it's a lot of hands-on. It's actually a lot of drawing and things like that, where young people are actually, you know, using their hands, you know, because it's important, you know, for our young kids to use their hands. Because, you know, mechanics, we need people who can build computer boards and things like that, take chips in and out of boards and things like that. We want kids to have jobs as plumbers, things like
mm-hmm.
that. So I want them using their hands, crayons and things like that. But from a technology standpoint, the research I just talked about, because I'm encouraging young people to understand the law. You know, what are the laws that impact you in your particular city or state? You know, who are your elected officials? And the fastest way to find out is through technology, mm-hmm. is to look up what is happening in my community from the standpoint of laws, from the standpoint of how laws impact me, from an educational standpoint, from a health standpoint, from my career. What are the things that are available? So we encourage young people to be active on social media and do some searching on social media.
Let's shift gears now and talk about a book you wrote 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
That has had a wide-reaching impact. And it's because of the topic, literacy, and how reading changed the lives of some very prominent African Americans. You can't say enough about reading.
Can't say enough about
and the importance of reading.
You can't.
And why is it? Just because it's the foundation of education?
It's no question about it. You know, reading, it builds your skill set. I mean, no matter what this skill you made in whatever profession. I mean, just sitting here with me and you talking and communicating, you have to do research, read, write, research individuals that you're going to interview, all the data that's associated with the work you're doing. I mean, that's important that our kids, if they want to compete in the 21st century, which is highly technological, sophisticated, we want our kids to be able to read and write.
And that's the key to compete.
To compete. Yeah, you have to be literate to compete. You have to be, I mean, at the highest level. You know, because that's the one thing that, you know, I love my mother to death because she was such a visionary. She understood putting books in front of us. That we, even though we live in a society today that's all about material things, if you are well-rounded with communication skills and you're knowledgeable, you can compete with anybody. I don't care what stage
Absolutely.
It's on.
If you can get what's in your head out of your mouth, then you can compete.
You're competing.
You have to know how to communicate.
On any level.
Absolutely. And so we're giving our mothers shout-outs because my mom did the same thing. We spent the entire summer in the library reading.
That's right.
And
That's
so
right.
I still think as an adult I should spend the summer in the library reading. It hadn't happened yet. You know, I don't have that type of free time. But I am trying to find a way to do that because it is so important. And to compete, it is a competition. I think many times we are far more comfortable watching athletes compete.
Right.
But there is competition going on in corporate America, going on for entrepreneurs. Those are competitions as well.
Exactly. Even with the athletes, you know, I mean, they're competing for scholarships. You know, I tell young people all the time, if you're going to participate in sports, make sure at least you get out of it is a college scholarship. I don't care if it's a small division school. Try to get a free ride through college. Get your degree. You know, at least get that out of it. You're beating your body up. You're spending long hours. You're drained mentally and physically. At least get that out of the school.
But the competition is also happening in the boardroom.
In the boardroom. It is
That's
extremely
a competition.
Tough. It is extremely tough because everybody wants those spaces. You know, everybody
That's
wants
right.
to be at the top.
Those
so
are competitions.
You have to be at the top of your game. You have to be the right effectively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly when you're in a boardroom and you're trying to get dollars for your small or large business, your proposal has to be tight.
And so when we say compete, we don't mean just in an athletic sense. We also mean in an academic.
An academic setting. Yeah,
yes.
Academic. In an academic, professional world, we have to compete. We have to be on top of our game to get the right grades so we get the scholarships, to get the right grades so we can get dollars to pay for our PhD that we want our children to have. Because we see our kids now are excelling in the sciences. Mm-hmm. So we want them to have the opportunity to get in a position where they can compete in the sciences.
Do you have a favorite story, literacy story, told by a prominent African American?
Hmm. You know, back to the book, there's a number of them. It's 24 stories individuals told me about
in the
how
book,
how
turn
reading,
the page,
turn the page and
you
don't stop.
Stop.
It's so many of them. Victor Hill, I talked about him. He's from Arkansas. He talks about how growing up as a kid, he had an eye condition, which his eyes were, you know, made his eyes kind of cross. He talked about how he found refuge in books when he used to go to the library and just kind of found a corner somewhere, and that became his friend because no one else would be his friend because he was a cross-eyed kid. But now he is a judge, you know, because he loved books so much. He's, you know, he was a graduate from the University of Arkansas, philosophy major, but went on to become a high-power lawyer. But now he's a judge in Eastern Arkansas.
And he
area.
Found his turnaround.
He found
in
a turnaround
a
in literature,
mm-hmm.
in books, you know. And there, you know, there's a number of stories in Turn the Page like that. Hakeem Madhubuti, founder of Third World Press, the oldest publishing company in the black publishing company in the United States. His story is remarkable. His mother, you know, was unfortunately a prostitute. And when a customer came, sometimes she would send him to the library. He's now author of over 26 books. And again, has a publishing company that's over, 50 years next year, you know.
Now that is a phenomenal story.
Phenomenal story. And there's many like that in Turn the Page, Don't Stop. Because I was trying to get young people to understand, I don't care where you are in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you consume information, you're going to be at the top.
Yeah, you won't stay there long.
Yeah,
and it's not about where you are right now. It's where are you going?
Mm-hmm. Where are you going? You know, and we see so many stories like that. You know, Janice Kearney, who's featured in the book, you've probably heard her story.
Mm-hmm.
One of 18, 19 children.
Yes.
16 master's degree, 9 law degrees out of one family.
That's an amazing family.
Amazing story. And they went to school half of the year. Their father,
and she was the diarist for President Bill Clinton.
First ever in history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cotton fields of Arkansas. Just for, you know, stories like that are happening all around us. We have to let our kids know about them, so they'll know that intellectualism, the need to be for ownership, the studio that we're in right now. I love what's happening. I mean, every time I come here, I'm just overwhelmed. My brother done moved all the way up. So shout out to Joynette Radio.
Joynette Radio, owned by J.C. Thornton. So like you say, it starts for so many with a book.
With a book,
Literacy.
Yeah, literacy.
Learning to read, learning to communicate.
You learn to communicate. I mean, that's, again, we in the station, that's all about communication. We're sharing information. We've researched information. We've analyzed it. Now we're sharing it.
So what's next on your vision board?
Next on my vision board is to have a youth communication type project where young people are, you know, learning on the people like yourself about the importance of sharing of information, because I think it's important that we work with individuals like UNCJ and understand that sharing of information is what the future is all about. It's information gathering, information sharing.
It is, and I especially think that's key in our community.
Right.
Because it's so important that what's happening in our community is told from a perspective that understands our community.
Yes. I mean, if we look at one of the greatest persons in history, I think, John H. Johnson, his publishing network.
Absolutely. Jet, Ebony.
All of that.
He told our story because he knew our story.
Right.
So we need people who know our story telling our story.
Telling our story, you know. And we are, and again, communication is the key. We're right here in the communication studio sharing information, enjoying it, and I just love it. What's happening in terms of the different steps that we're taking and the direction we're going in, and the leaps and bounds that are happening in our community. You know, people talk about what's not happening in our community. I think we need to start looking at what is happening. You know,
I like
it's
that.
Easy to identify the faults in our community, but if we look hard enough, we will find some stories in our communities that are just unbelievable.
Well, you are one of them.
Well, thank you.
And please come back and talk with us more about your vision board.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Patrick Oliver joining us in the Village, and we will be right back, so you stay with us.